I hold in my hand a can of Raid. I hold in my hand an insect, a bug. I take off the top. I get ready to spray, and when I do this, according to the TV commercial, what happens? What is said? That's good enough. Dead in the tracks, or off. Yes, right. Raid. So when the insects see the red can of Raid, and when it's the insect does what? It screams out, Raid, Raid. That's what the insect does when he feels the spray, and that is because the insect knows that the insect has met its match. Now, the biggest bug of all is Satan. And when he sees a Christian fasting, for example, and praying, he says, Raid! He is affected like the insects are affected, because he knows he has met his match. Now, our series of sermons on the lost doctrine of the Bible has to do with fasting. And when you participate in this God-directed, God-provided activity, Satan, the biggest bug I've ever known, yells, fast, fast. And then he moves accordingly. Now, in sermon number one, we looked about feasting on the manna during the fasting. And our scripture was when Jesus was walking with his disciples, they were just walking on that probably hot summer afternoon, and he turned to the guys and he said, you know, fellas, if any one of you or anybody would want to follow me, he must first of all deny himself. And so denying yourself has great ramifications, but especially in view of the word F-A-S-T. Denying for the fast. We spoke about why I'm calling the fast, because of the condition of our country, the condition of our, we call it the land out there, but also because of the condition of our land in which we live, because we're made of earth. The results of the fast, God's going to be seen in action. And then fourthly, we talked about the different kinds of fast. Last time we met, how do you spell fasting? We gave some remarks about fasting, and the overlay at this time, we talked about these scriptures that come from Jeremiah 36:6. First of all, Joel 1:14, give orders for a fast and call an assembly. So the pastor is calling the church to participate in 40 days of some kind of fasting and prayer. And then read with me Jeremiah 36:6. On a fast day, you shall read the words of the Lord. So if you're fasting one day, 3 days, 7 days, whatever, then you want to take time to read the Word of God, because the guidebook says that's what we do. And then as we increase our daily reading, the third scripture was Ezra 8:23, and read with me. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. And then as it continues, we're calling for a meeting Sunday evening, February 9th, which will be the result of, so we fasted, that's past tense, and petitioned, past tense, our God about this and whatever this is in your own life. Thanks. Then we talked about some benefits of fasting, physically, spiritually, and some accounts of fasting. We showed you four accounts in the Word of God why people fasted. We talked about the city of Nineveh. They fasted to change the mind of God. We talked about Esther and Mordecai, who fasted because of danger. Paul fasting because of desperation, and Judah fasting because of a need. Those were four examples in the Word of God. And then we also talked about some types of fasting. The reason we do this is because there is a hunger in our land. Whether you know it or not, or believe it or not, there is a hunger for people to latch on to the spiritual, to latch on to the unseen. Is not this the reason why we have all these 800 numbers where you can call and find out your past, your present, and your future? People are wanting to know what's in the future, and they're wanting to communicate some way with God. And I read last week that the entrepreneur spirit on the internet is alive, if not always well. One offer which showed up on the web page to electronically beam prayers, hopes, and dreams into space, into time, into forever. And all you got to do is to send prayers, and of course checks or money, orders, and they'll be launched at the speed of light on a powerful microwave radio beam into deep space. As soon as they're sent, they become available to be intercepted by God. Oh yes, an additional service purportedly allows you to send messages to departed loved ones with the assurance that God would deliver the message. Now here's the scripture. The scripture says, a fool and his money are soon parted. And that's true. But the pity is that there's this leech out there that is preying on genuine spiritual hunger that is abroad in our land. People are hungry to latch on to the Spirit. When you fast and deny yourself, you are putting yourself into a position where you can hear directly from God. Because the thing that interferes from our communication are the things that come into our body, into our mind. Our mind through our eyes, our body through our mouth. So I want to preface the remarks before we go to the book of Daniel, which you can start looking for, with these few. Jesus fasted for how many days? And he was not the only one that did that, but he fasted for 40 days. But did you ever notice that it says that after 40 days, then he got hungry? And did you ever notice that the scripture says after the 40 days, then Satan came to him and tempted him? It was after those 40 days. He could hang in there with Satan, and he could spray the can of the Holy Spirit mist upon that big bug, because he had previously made himself in a position mentally, attitude, spiritually, and physically by fasting. If you go on a one-day fast or a three-day or a five-day fast, let me just tell you from experience that the first 48 hours are rough, but then the hunger lets up. And your weakness may stay for a few days, but I have never felt more strong than I feel now. But this doesn't mean I can go out and play 18 holes or mow the lawn in 25 minutes, but it means that what I'm saying is that if you participate in any amount that you do go through, there are going to be some benefits. Medically, for example, detoxifying your body, the fats, the wastes, removing. And do you know that there have been reports of people who have had healings because they have just fasted? And I'm believing for a healing in this huge cyst that I've got right here on my kidney. I want to believe that this hernia that I have right here is just going to go away during this time. I mean, this is what I'm believing for. And some of you, and as we go through this prayer and fasting, it's not just for ourselves, it's for other people too. So there's the physical slant that comes about for the detoxification of ourselves. But there are other physical things. Your sex drive is going to be dropped quite a bit. It's going to subside. Your hunger is going to subside. Your fleshly desires are going to underscore that. Fleshly desires subside. Because that's what gets us in problems with God. Our flesh gets us in problems. And in a fast, be it whatever you choose for the period of 40 days, whether it's just 1, 3, or 5, or 10, or 21 days, if you do something every week, it's what pastor's asking you to do, you're going to have fleshly desires subsided. And when those things are subsided, then as they are subdued, what is going to rise up is your spiritual. Your spiritual desires are going to rise. And I've never wanted to praise God more than I'm praising him now. Victory in three fasts, our subject for today, in the book of Daniel. They all come from the book of Daniel. There are three fasts that this great man of God went through, and we're going to look at those today, if you will. So if you turn in your book to Daniel, let's go to Daniel chapter 1. And again, this is out of character for me to drink water, but you know why. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. The king ordered Aspenazah, chief of the court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among them were some from Judah. Daniel is mentioned first because he probably is older and the chief and probably the leader of the other three young people. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. So the guys who came into this new country had their name changed by the people who were in authority. Now, name change is not new, is it? Remember Abraham, remember Sarah, and there have been other accounts in the Word of God where names were changed. So names were changed. Daniel got a new name, and his name was Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. And isn't it strange that we're singing the songs today with these heathen names instead of the names that were given to them by God? Now, God gave the names, and they had meaning. God has given you a name, and it has a meaning. And if you don't know what your name means, call me. We'll look it up. And it's important to know what your name means. Daniel, given a name by God through his mother, meant God is my judge. But these people in this foreign land to which they had been taken prisoner changed their name, and to Belteshazzar means the treasure of Baal, or the depository of the secret treasures of Baal. So he was given a heathen name that had a bad meaning. Shadrach's new name meant the inspiration of the sun. God, the author of evil, be favorably disposed to us. And then Mishael was given the name Meshach. His name originally meant he who comes from God. But now it was changed to he who belongs to the goddess. And this name listed in Jeremiah. And Azariah, which means the Lord is my helper, was changed to Abednego, which means the servant of Nego, which was one of their deities. So they had a name change. Why did they have a name change? To show them mentally that they were in subjection to the new power. So the name was changed. But even though the name was changed, they inside kept their own name and lived accordingly to their own name, though outwardly they had a brand new name. They would not go under subjection with what they believed. And so the story continues. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my Lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please, here it is, please, test your servants for how many days? And give us nothing but what? Vegetables and water. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. And did he agree? And how long was the test for? And verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier, better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them what? Vegetables instead. And now the result. I was going to say the result of this fast, but it's really not a fast as fast. I'll explain why. But to the result was, verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge, understanding in all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, they were presented to the king. At the end of the time, that means 3 years. The reason I say it's not a fast, because when I passed out last week the photocopy of the Bible fast, some 35 of them, Daniel does not appear because the word fast is not in the scripture, but the eating program that they had amounted to that, because they did indeed fast from what they were doing. And it's interesting to note that at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier. Now, my scripture says they looked healthier, but some of you may have in your Bible the word countenance, right? Their countenance was better. Now, isn't this interesting? And go with me on this. The face has the muscles to show what the word countenance. Actually, the countenance is your whole body, but you can't see my arm. My arm's covered up. So God has provided muscles in my face to show you my countenance, because the other members of my body you cannot see to show countenance. So the face is what shows. And isn't that true? Isn't that true? You lied to me.
No, I didn't lie.
You know, your face shows that. A drunkard, you know, eyes, flushed face, what have you. It shows. And this way, when they went through the 10 days of the eating program, they look better, because it says their countenance. And that is so very important, that since their countenance changed, that the outside was showing what was changed on the inside. For drink, they didn't have your favorite cola, because one of them is the new generation anyway. They didn't have the old either. All they had was just the water, and the vegetables. History tells us that when the Roman soldiers carried the eagle around the world, their soldiers were not allowed to drink wine or beer, only water. And as a result of that, they conquered countries and cities and nations all over the known world. And they did that because they were strong and healthy by not drinking the wine or the beer. The same way with the people who participated, like wrestlers, for example, in the Olympic Games or the Isthmian Games, they were not allowed to drink anything but water. And the result was they were better. So the countenance is going to show oftentimes the sins that we participate in, as well as what we put into our body. And it's worthy to note that it is what's unprotected, fully exposed. 10 days, vegetables and water, and some of our church members are doing that now. They're in a 10-day fast, during which time they are going to be blessed, and others will be blessed as well. So that's the three fasts, victory in three fasts. That's the first victory. In Daniel chapter 9, the second fast. This fast lasted just for a day. And yes, you can go on a fast just for one day. That may be very difficult. But if you chose a one-day fast to participate in this with our church, you just could go without meals all day. Or maybe you would choose just to go without lunch. You know, you can tailor it to your own need. The thing is to get into the spirit of this fast. Daniel chapter 9. 1, 2, 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Exerus, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scripture, this means that he had knowledge and would read what we would call the Bible of his day, understood from the scripture, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord, and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Now this was just at this time that he did this. The usual procedure of a guy who wants an answer from God, to deny himself and just to tune in with God and say, what are you saying? I want this answer. Now, Daniel's example of secret prayer, which he always participated in, here was amplified because he knew that a promise had been made. And whenever divine promises are made, maybe to you, I feel that maybe they can't come true until we pray. Or to put it in Dr. Scholl's words in Korea, whatever divine promises we may have, unless we pray, it cannot come true. Now, God has got, you know this, 32,500 promises in the Word of God. And unless you pray and participate, some of these, I think, will never, ever come true. He turned to the Lord, and he had prayer, petitions, fasting, and then he also did something to his garments. He had what kind of clothes on? You can't even buy that at Dick Bruner's today. Sackcloth and ashes. I mean, that's really gross, putting ashes on you. But it was showing mourning. It was showing, hey, this is bad. This is bad. So he prays to the Lord. He put on the hair kind of garment, and he prayed to God. And the reason he prayed, we'll not read his prayer, but these are the reasons. They were the sins of his land. There are 12 sins. And these same sins of his land are the same sins of our American land. And here they are. Sinned, verse 5, 11, 15, and 16. Committed iniquity, verse 5. They've done wickedly, verse 5. They've departed from God's precepts, verse 5. They departed from God's judgment, verse 5. They've not listened to God's servants, the prophets. How well that is in America, true. 7, transgressed against God. They've rebelled against God. They've not obeyed God's voice, in verse 10. They've not walked in his law, verse 10. They've transgressed God's law, in verse 11. And they've disobeyed his voice, verse 11 and 14. So these 12 sins of his day are the 12 sins that are in our day. Because of this, I say, people, let's pray. Let's fast. Let's deny ourselves things, whatever we're going to do, but in particular food. And let's ask God's blessings, because Daniel saw no end to the captivity. That just seemed to be right here. And so he appeals for mercy. He says, God, in view of the desolation of the temple, in view of the desolation of what's happening to our people, the Jewish people, I am going to pray to you. And so his external appearance coincided to his internal attitude or state. And he fasted and he prayed before God. That was a one-day fast. Now the third of the three fasts for victory is in the next chapter, chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And here we're going to find a much longer fast in Daniel 10. And if you want to scan down, you can answer the next question. How long was this fast? How long was Daniel 10 fast? 3 weeks. How many days would that be? 21 days that he fasted. Now here's how the scripture reads. Chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. During that time, verse 3, I ate no choice food, or actually the Hebrew word is pleasant bread. No meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. In other words, this was a long time. It was a constant emotional strain on this guy, living on coarse and unpleasant food. No pleasant bread, no meat, therefore it was vegetables. And he drank nothing, it says here, but water. It says he didn't even take a bath, didn't take a shower, and he most probably wore the hair cloth. So he lived on bread and vegetables. Now Daniel 1, it was vegetables with no bread. Here the implication is that he added bread to it. And it says he did not use the wine, but this isn't to make us think that he normally used wine, because in chapter 1 he did not touch the wine at all. It was not his custom. And so he participates in this for 3 weeks. A very long time. Now this guy is 87 years old. Almost 90 years old. And therefore probably his body would not take maybe a full fast. But the point I'm trying to make is that he was an old man at this time, nearly 90 years old. Now this chapter before, he was 73 years old. So a lot happens between chapter 9 and chapter 10. But if you'll scan down to verse 12, as a result of the 21 days. In verse 12, well, let's go back to verse 10. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, which indicated that he often was on the ground prostrate before the Lord. I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, but I was trembling. It could be for many reasons, possibly in the presence of God's angel. And he continued, do not be afraid. Isn't it interesting that every time in the scripture, not every time, but most times, when God comes to people, they're afraid. And he says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. So during this time of fasting, people, when you are intentionally asking for a revelation of God, which I trust you do, you may get one and you may start trembling and you may be afraid. I would like this experience personally. But then I read the last page. I know that he's going to say, you don't have to quit shaking anymore because I shake as it is. But he's going to say, don't be afraid. Daniel, get up. Don't be afraid. And then he continued, do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, this is why he fasted. This is why we're fasting. To gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Now God can hear me pray like this. Dear Lord, he heard that. He also can hear this. Now I said the same thing, but you didn't hear it, but he did. He heard your words. He heard your words for the very first day. Now, if this was at the end of the fast, then how many days back will we be going? So 21 days back, Daniel said, oh God, and now 1, 2, 3, 10, 12, 20, 21 days. Then, this guy says, from the very first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your Lord, your words were heard, and I came in response to them. But how come he didn't get there right away? Anybody? Exactly. Some forces were stopping him. Verse 13, the prince of the Persian Empire resisted me 21 days. And then Michael, praise God for Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So this guy is fasting and praying for an answer, and finally he gets the answer. But he came late. Just parenthetically, why he came late was that there are princes over every city. There is a prince over every state. In America, there is a prince over our city. And I cannot tell you for certainty that it's called the Prince of Adultery, but some have discerned that. But there is a prince over King City. There is a prince over the state, over the nation of America, and over everything. And the reason I say that is that it's in the Word of God. And while Satan has his trusted angels who are responsible to him for carrying out his will in these governments, praise God that God's got his angels, trusted angels, and therefore there is conflict in heaven, war in heaven. The Bible says that. That there is war in heaven over the guys who wear the black hats and the guys who wear the white hats. There is constant war, but we do know God's going to win. And so in verse 14, when he gets his answer because his mind was in a prepared state as a reason because of devotion for their communication. Prayer is a struggle, people. And when we fight on the earth, the angels who have the answer of God also fight in the air. Let me repeat. Prayer is a struggle. But when we fight in the earth, down here, the angels up there who have the answer of God are fighting in the air. So in conclusion, it's just fast unto the Lord. Fast unto the Lord. We've seen victory in these three fasts. Different types of fasts. But God honored them and they were blessed as a result of them. So in our fasting as a community of believers here, we are going to see results. Personally, we're going to see results corporately in our church body, in our city and in our America, there will be results, because you sang it when we came in. We're trusting, we're believing, we're expecting something great. It's going to happen. It's going to happen right in this place. Amen, amen, amen. So fast. Afflict your soul, which that word means. Practice self-denial and realize that when you sleep at night, you are in a fast, because the next day you have breakfast, you break your fast. But remember that in the Word of God, there were people who said, well, during the nighttime, God has spoken to people in night visions or in dreams. So if God speaks to people in a fast state, being asleep, then if we go into a real fast state relating to food, doesn't it sound right and stand to reason that God's going to speak to you? God will speak to you, people, through the fast. So as your pastor, I'm just imploring you, I'm begging you, participate some way during these special days. Choose the kind of a fast that you want, and then do it, and do something every week. Can't tell you how important it is. Just do something every week, and we all will be blessed. Three victories. The fast in three victories. Let's stand, may we? Father God, we are standing and we are believing that you haven't forgotten us. That unlike a person who builds a ship and it's launched and goes out into the sea, the people building it actually forget all about it. It's not that way with you. We have been built in your image. We've been launched into a sea, and you've promised never to leave us or to be with us. You will always be with us. And we're going to believe, Father, that during this time of anticipation, when we are praying like we have never prayed before, when we are denying ourselves like we have never denied ourselves before, we're going to read our Bible like we've never read it before. That will equal hearing from you, victories from you, the touch of God from you. And we thank you in advance for what we're going to be able to report come that February 19 evening meeting. God, we bless you this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the worship that we've had today. And now as we conclude, we thank you for the touch that you can give us right now individually. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.